Hello, and welcome to Teen Health Matters. This podcast and associated website is a project of the Howard County Health Department and is designed to connect you, your friends, your parents, and the people who care about you to the resources you need to stay safe, healthy, and happy. My name is Alyssa, and I am an intern with the Bureau of Behavioral Health at the Health Department. I'm currently a Long Reach High School senior, and throughout this podcast, we will be exploring the ways in which teens can stay connected during this pandemic, as well as discussing mental health and how isolation may have affected students. I'm joined today by Anastasia, a fellow intern, who will introduce our guests.
Thank you, Alyssa. My name is Anastasia Santrek. I am a senior at Appleton High School, and along with Alyssa, I'm an intern with the Howard County Health Department. Joining today with me are Leah Bolka, the Behavioral Health Navigator at the Howard County Health Department, and Appleton High School senior Alexis Paxton. Thank you so much for being with us today. I am so eager to discuss how we as youth can better cope with the chaos of the world around us each day. Alexis, I am very well aware that you are the president of the Bully Free Forever Club at Appleton, which I'm also a member of. Could you tell us just a bit about how the club has helped students feel connected and some activities that the club has initiated to maintain overall wellness in the community and just some stuff like that?
Yeah, of course. Thank you, Anastasia. I'm so happy to be here. So about our club, Bully Free Forever Club focuses on raising awareness for bullying. Our goal is to prevent bullying and spread kindness throughout the Athelton community. We want to ensure having a safe and open environment so students feel comfortable talking about the issues affecting them. So one of the activities that we hold from time to time is called Circle Time. And it's when all of our members get together and we sit around in a circle and we talk through some of the issues that we're facing in our day-to-day lives. Everything said during the circle time stays there, so students won't be worried about their really personal stories being shared to others. I think my favorite activity that we do is our assemblies. We host them every single year. Typically, we have student-run assemblies, meaning that members of our club perform skits, showcase their musical talents, and share stories about their experiences. I love these assemblies because we're able to reach out to the whole Athelton community and spread our message of universal kindness and anti-bullying.
Thank you for sharing. That definitely seems like a group that a lot of people would want to be a part of. We have a similar club at Long Reach, but it's called Active Mind, and it has the same focus on like kindness and mindfulness, but it's more focused on mental health.
These are all great resources in the school community, and I'm sure that many youth are aware of this, but I also know that there are people who are not necessarily aware of these available programs. One of the best ways, I believe, to remain motivated and involved is just by being involved in meaningful community opportunities, such as grassroots volunteer work, joining clubs focused on service, or just simply contacting mental health experts in the community. Yeah, you have been coordinating the Sources of Strength program initiated by the Howard County Health Department. How do you believe that's an adequate resource for you?
That's a great question. Sources of Strength is a peer leadership program that seeks to reduce the risk of suicide by sharing messages of hope and strength and promoting help-seeking behaviors among youth in our community. So over the course of the school year, students who participate learn about things like coping skills and work together with adult advisors to develop awareness campaigns about mental health in their community.
That's awesome. I know Alyssa and I have been having a great time in that program, and it's definitely been an outlet for us and an opportunity to just share how we're feeling and talk about such important issues. Additionally to such programs, I know that sports are a great way for students to remain motivated and just decompress and be involved with their peers. Alyssa, I know you play lacrosse. How would you comment on that experience?
Definitely. I think sports can be very beneficial. For me, I was recently a part of a fall league for lacrosse. It combined three schools from around the county to make one team. And it was really helpful personally because it was a time where I could, as you said, decompress and I didn't have to focus on school or any other work. I could just focus on the game at hand. And it was a way to get out of the house, stay active, and make new friends from around the county.
That's awesome. That really sounds like a great opportunity to just be involved in the community. And while sports are definitely a wonderful outlet, do you feel like students are limited in what activities they can be a part of during this pandemic? And if so, what are some extracurriculars that they can be involved in, and how has COVID impacted that situation?
I know through BFF, surprisingly, participation in the club has increased. Before the pandemic, while we were in school, we would usually have around like 15 to 20 people each meeting. But now we see that we have around 30 people. And I believe this large increase of members is due to our club being a safe environment where students are able to pause and take a deep breath and be a part of a safe environment where they're able to talk through some of the problems that they're facing in their day-to-day lives.
Definitely. But alternatively, from asking around in my school, I've seen many people have been like signing up for more extracurriculars, but they haven't been showing up as much. They're taking on more that they can handle. And I know from talking to this one person especially, they mentioned they feel like they were in over their head and they were like drowning in all their work, and they're starting to become more and more unmotivated with everything that's like piling up.
It's true. I mean, there are all these resources and activities available, but sometimes we just pile on so much to the point where we feel like you said, we're drowning in our work and we're doing so much more than we can actually handle. So besides all these clubs and sports, what are some ways that we can work on our mental health and stay connected with friends and socially active?
I think one of the ways, I know for me, my friends, we typically have Zoom calls weekly and we just talk about like what's going on and we just like catch up. And I just think it's great to like keep those connections, especially during such hard times.
Alyssa, I'm sure you have experience with Active Minds and talking about mental health at the school. So do you feel like students in this period of time are making mental health their priority?
I definitely think that they're trying their best, but it might be slipping through their fingers a little bit. I know that there's a lot of pressure during this time, especially with college applications. We see for seniors, that's a really, really big stressor because that's like a big decision. That's like your whole next 4 years, your future. Many teens work and a lot of different extracurriculars and schoolwork.
Certainly, I'm sure many students can relate. Personally, I have 5 applications to do until January. So I am, again, in over my head, busy. I'm sure all of you are as well. And during these tough times, reaching out for help can be hard, especially when we are feeling physically and socially isolated. How do you see your peers reaching out for support? And how does someone break out of that bubble of feeling alone and helpless during these hard and demanding times?
I believe the best support during difficult times comes from the people you trust the most. And whether it's a friend or a family member or a teacher or like an adult you trust, I believe it's always good to talk to someone you have a great relationship with. I've had moments in my life where I felt completely alone and I suffer from depression. So there were times where I would hit rock bottom and I didn't reach out for support because I didn't want to be a burden to my loved ones. And I really wasn't aware of any resources that would help me. But eventually I built up the courage to tell my loved ones that I was struggling. And it was such a relief to finally get that off my chest because it felt like a weight was being lifted. So my advice to someone else trying to break out of this bubble is to talk to someone you really trust and that you know can help you because it's really beneficial.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sure that so many students relate with your viewpoint because there is this struggle with opening up simply because of that hopeless mindset we all find ourselves in. And breaking through that barrier is really important. And we are all aware that there are trusted adults and helpful resources out there for us. Leah, what is your viewpoint on this? And as a professional, what are some resources that you know are available for you?
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing, Alexis. Reaching out for support can be really daunting. And at Sources of Strength, we encourage our students to reach out to friends when they notice changes in their behavior or communication that might show that they're feeling down or that they're going through something. On teenhealthmatters.org, we have tips on how to start a conversation with a friend who is struggling. And it can be as simple as asking, "It seems like something's bothering you. Do you want to talk about it?" It's also important to connect with a trusted adult, as you mentioned, Nastasia, if you're concerned about a friend especially, because they might be able to connect them with additional resources. And we want to emphasize to everyone, teens, parents, and teachers, that it's okay to ask if somebody is feeling down or struggling.
Speaking of support and reaching out, do we feel like youth are able to reach out and talk to trusted adults? Personally, I've found some trusted adults within my family and through many teachers. One person I confide in the most would probably be one of my old Spanish teachers, Ms. McCown. Having a mentor of sorts to talk to can have benefits, and they usually know how to handle certain situations and can guide you through tough times. What do you think, Alexis?
Similar to you, Alyssa, one adult that I trust and often go to when I'm struggling is my old Spanish teacher, Senora Grady. She's so kind and trusting, and you can just tell that she truly cares for her students' well-being. In addition, she's helped me through some very difficult times, and overall, she's just like a phenomenal person. But unfortunately, not all adults are as great as Mrs. McCown and Senora Grady. I feel like a lot of adults have a stigma around mental illness, and I think it's mainly due to the difference in values from the older generation. In my opinion, like, people from older generations refrain from speaking about things weighing on them because it was frowned upon. And I think that the fact that our generation is able to put an end to the stigma around mental health and recognize that it's okay not to be okay and that you're never alone is such a beautiful thing. So ultimately, I believe that it's crucial to talk to someone who is reliable and has good intentions.
Thank you for sharing. This is something we as individuals need to find. We need to find that courage, that strength in us to reach out. And I can confidently say that there is a great weight lifted off your shoulders when burdens are shared. This is something students experience on a day-to-day basis. Along with that destigmatization around mental health, I think our youth are doing a great job so far. Sources of Strength, we mentioned a few times, it is a Howard County driven program. And one of the things that we are actually doing within this program right now is the thankfulness challenge. And I think it goes really greatly hand in hand with the season of Thanksgiving that's coming up. And something that I've been personally doing is maintaining a thankfulness journal in which I write three things that I'm thankful for each day. And I have to personally say that it's eye-opening that every single day there are a few pointers I can look at and say, hey, maybe my life isn't as hard as I'm making it, or, you know, there are these people that I can reach out to daily. Something I like to do is to reach out to my friends, and sometimes when I'm having a bad week, my best friend loves to surprise me, and we go out on a day, or we get lunch, or we listen to music together, and just some activities like that have really opened my mind to just being more present and more self-aware of what I'm doing each day to make my self-care better for myself. What are some ways that you guys have been really maintaining your self-care?
For me personally, I'm also involved with Sources of Strength, so I've been trying to do the thankfulness challenge too. And so some things that I've been writing about in my thankfulness journal are definitely my friends and family, and the people close to me are a big part of what makes my life so great. Another thing that I would have to say that helps with my self-care is just taking like long walks and taking time for myself, making time out of my day to have time to like think about things, you know, because I know it can be really overwhelming when we have all this work, all this stuff coming out at you. It is really easy for you to get lost in it and just like focus on that, like get hyper-focused on that, at least for me. I get like hyper-focused and then I lose track of time, and it's just really good to set a limit for yourself for when you need to go and like take a walk or something.
Yeah, I love the idea of the thankfulness journal, like you said, Nastasia, writing down three things every day. Like, I think that's amazing because oftentimes, you know, we take things for granted and we don't realize the sort of like privileges we have. And I just think that's amazing. I know for me, one of the things, I guess one of my forms of self-care would be hanging out with some of my friends. I have a friend who, because of some of her underlying health conditions, she's not able to like go out and like see us. So I make sure to have Zoom calls or like FaceTime calls and just find ways that we can connect virtually to, you know, keep that sort of relationship. Another thing I love and I tell all my friends about and I'm like really big into is meditation and like being in the present moment and just being able to pause and take a deep breath. I started meditation about a year ago and it's really helped me during stressful times just be able to say like, you know what, I'm gonna take a break from all these stressful college apps and like homework and just the stress going on in the world, and I'm just gonna sit, be present, and just like, you know, meditate. Also, like you said, Alyssa, I love taking walks. Being out with nature is just great. Especially now, I really love fall time. So it's like great to see all the beautiful leaves and just think. And also it's good to like get out now because we've been, you know, stuck in quarantine for so long. But yeah, I think just like meditation and just talking to friends are like my big forms of self-care.
Yeah, so I practice self-care very similar to all of you, really. Going for walks is really important for me, especially working remotely and working from home, because my office is usually my bedroom. To break up my day, to transition from working to living, I like to go for a walk right at the end of my workday and try to clear my mind and process anything that came across my laptop over the course of the day. And I find that's really important. And similar to what Alexis mentioned, I think taking a mindfulness walk can be very powerful, where you try to clear your mind as much as possible and focus on what you can see, what you can smell, what you can touch, and what you can hear. And really focusing on those senses helps provide that presence of mind to really live in the moment and transition from the workday for me personally. Exercise is also very important for me. I'm a reluctant runner, but I do it. And I always am glad I've done it when I'm done. It's hard to get started, but after I've done it, I feel like 100 times better. And I find that if I run without headphones, which might sound crazy to a lot of people to run without music, I can practice that mindfulness while I'm running and really pay attention to my breath, which helps me be more productive in my run and pay attention to my posture and all of that stuff. So I'm trying to incorporate elements of yoga and mindfulness and exercise in my daily routine to really keep going and stay strong during this pandemic and all these changes that are coming our way.
Alyssa, you mentioned the word hyper-focused, which is definitely something I relate to. Sometimes I find myself so centered on my schoolwork and so centered on the things that need to be done to the point where I don't sit down and think about, okay, but what needs to be done now? How am I feeling right in this moment? And oftentimes I do ignore that feeling and I do skip over my mental health days and it never proves good. So I definitely recommend when you are feeling very stressed and anxious to listen to yourself, listen to your body. Don't give in to that idea that, oh, you have to finish this essay and then everything will be okay. Trust me, it is much better to take just an hour to breathe, an hour to listen to a podcast, a song, because it genuinely gives you a sense that everything will be okay and that there is this time for yourself. Just take a moment and pause, because at the end of the day, there's a clearer mindset and then you will be able to do the essay in 40 minutes and you will have a better shot at doing to the best of your ability. So I think that just taking time for yourself, like you all mentioned, meditating is a wonderful way to do that. Definitely will bring us all to a self-aware position versus just being really, really just hyper and busy and in this moment of like anxiousness. So I think that social media, I know Alexis, you mentioned Zoom and FaceTime, but at the same time, there are friends that I don't have that even live in the country. So sometimes FaceTime isn't a way that they can communicate. So social media, how do you feel is an outlet for students and how can we use that platform to reach others and just be overall mentally healthy?
Yeah, definitely. I know within the Belief for Forever Club, we have an Instagram and Twitter and we post updates about our club, but we also post like positive messages and just like quotes just to like, you know, motivate students during like these really stressful times. But I think social media is a great way to, you know, connect with students, because I know I'm always on my phone, like refreshing my page, like just checking up on like what everyone is doing. And I think, you know, since it's so like quick, like you post, boom, all your friends can see, like, I think it's just another great way to stay connected with everyone, where they could be like across the country and like they can like see like you posted something, and just, you know, it's great because, you know, you don't feel alone because, you know, like you could just connect with everyone.
That's an excellent point, Alexis, about sharing positive messages. That's a huge part of Sources of Strength, is sharing hope, help, and strength-based messages with the end goal of sharing our coping skills and what works for us. So it can be surprisingly powerful how big of a difference you can make within your social circle by sharing some of those coping skills that you have, that self-care, what impact it has on your everyday routine. It can make a huge difference for the people around you.
Earlier, we discussed some things about generation differences, and right now we talked a lot about positive aspects of social media, but I know that there are other viewpoints in which are filled with worry and concern that social media may not be the best platform for these things. Leah, what is your perspective on that as an adult?
I think it's a very difficult topic for parents right now, because so much of the guidance in recent years has been about limiting screen time, and now screen time might be the only way our children have to interact with each other. So I think that's going to be a conversation that parents need to have with their kids. I know a lot of people use video games specifically to chat with friends. They have their headset, they're on their PCs or on their Xbox, and they're talking to friends who might live across the country. They can reach a wide variety of friends that way. And parents may not realize that it's playing a huge social role in their lives as well. It's not just an outlet to get out some energy or clear their mind. It's also a way for them to connect with people on a social level. So I think that's an important conversation for parents to have, because we don't know what roles these gadgets are playing in our kids' lives.
I definitely agree with the conversation aspect you mentioned. I think conversations are really important between parents and students and children, because sometimes the different biases and perspectives we have are sometimes barriers to the things we do every day. I mean, sometimes if I'm on my phone, it seems like, oh, she's always on her phone. She's always doing this and that. And there is that stigma around social media and phone usage. So I think just sitting down and having that conversation is a much healthier way to address such concerns versus succumbing to your past biases or perspectives, because sometimes it may not be that way. And if it is, that's a different conversation, and you're able to communicate to the best of your ability. And I think that's a healthy and productive way to address social media. And along with all these concerns about social media, I think the biggest one is cyberbullying. And that is a fear that a lot of parents I know have. There have been countless movies made on that subject. We are aware that it occurs and it happens, and there is that fear that your child may be a victim of such cruelty. So, Alexis, I know a while back the club has discussed some issues around this. How has the Bully Free Forever Club been talking about the subject?
Yeah, definitely. Since school's virtual this year, one of the main things we wanted to focus on was cyberbullying. So through our club, our whole motto with cyberbullying is, if you see something, say something, you know, just as in person, like if you are a bystander to like someone being bullied, we want you to like speak up and say, hey, that's not okay. Like, you shouldn't be talking to someone that way. And I think for a lot of bullies, since they're like hiding behind the screen, it's just easier to say those nasty and like vile things to someone else, because it's anonymous and, you know, you don't have to, you know, face the backlash that you like would if you were doing that to someone in person. So we just encourage students that if you see something online, you say it. And if you don't want to get directly involved, we encourage you to report the comment or to, you know, block accounts or just like check in on that person who was the recipient of like those nasty and vile comments that the other person said to them.
I think arguably our generation is one of the most aware of these issues, just because we do spend that much time on our phones, especially during this pandemic. I think we are aware of the things that kids and teens can say, and it's not okay. And we have that platform and that space to say something. And through all these conversations, I think that's a great comfort for parents. I mean, the fact that we are aware that these problems occur. So if any parent finds themselves concerned that child is struggling, they know that we have resources available and we have self-aware and educated teenagers out there who are on a daily basis looking for these warning signs and are fighting on their kids' behalf in most cases. And I'm sure that many teens can utilize all this information that we talked about. These conversations are truly really important. And the biggest takeaway that I would like to leave with our listeners is that there are people who care and work hard every day to ensure that countless resources and help are available. Get involved with virtual programs, check in with your peers, and do not be afraid of reaching out to a trusted adult. Thank you so much to Alexis, Alyssa, and Leah for being a great part of this. And thank you for Dragon Digital Radio and your team for making all of this possible. I think we can all agree that even if only we reached one person, that all of this would remain worth it. So thank you to everyone, and stay posted for the program and podcast updates on the Teen Health Matters website. And Leah, if you could just reiterate some resources that we can find in our community, I think that would be a great benefit to us.
Absolutely. I would definitely encourage students to reach out to a counselor or a school psychologist at their school. And for teens who feel that they don't have a trusted adult they can turn to, or who may be afraid to reach out to a friend, I would encourage them to contact Grassroots Crisis Intervention to speak with a crisis counselor about what they're going through. That number is 410-531-6677. Additionally, on the Bureau of Behavioral Health website, we have a youth directory with adolescent-specific resources, as well as contact information for behavioral health navigation, which can assist families in locating professional help if they're interested.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.